Well, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. So I had to chuckle this week. I was looking forward to preaching my part two on Who Am I? But we have a certain administrator here with a certain temperament. And I got to read you our text exchange. I had to laugh at it. Here it is. Good morning. Will there be any scripture readings to put on the overhead? Good morning, Amber. No, not this week either. Sermon title is Who Am I Part 2? Smiley face. Okay, so nothing towards Thanksgiving? Is it Thanksgiving this weekend already? Wow, forgot. She put, ha ha, yeah. Man, that came fast. So we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to save Who Am I Part 2 for the following Sunday. And today I wanted to preach something on Thanksgiving because it's important to talk about it because the Bible talks about it a lot. It uses the phrase to give thanks, to gratitude it mentions. So I want to talk around that this morning. Because as I was thinking about Thanksgiving, when Amber reminded me that it was Thanksgiving, I won't tell you what day of the week that was. I think we could all agree here that you would have an absolutely full life, a content life, if you lived in thankfulness and gratitude every day. Don't you think? I think you would feel full. I think you would feel content. As even the Apostle Paul said, I've learned the secret to being content. And I think if we lived in gratitude and thankfulness, or gratefulness, if you want to use that word, I think you would have a really full life. I think you would be very, very content. There's much to be grateful for, isn't there? Right? There is. I mean, if we just think about waking up, that the sun came up again today. Right? The moon and the stars came out again. The earth is still in orbit, not spinning off of its axis. Right? I mean, even just simple things like that. I remember we did a youth missions trip with a youth group when I was working out in Lower Mainland, British Columbia. And we're in Mexico. And we couldn't shower for 12 days. And it was in the summer, and it was hot. It was in the 30s. Getting close to 40s down there, and some of those kids were pretty rank. I'm not going to lie. They were pretty rank. I myself smelled like roses. Just kidding. We were working out in the sun. We were building a playground for an orphanage. I mean, it was disgusting. I couldn't sleep at night because I smelled so bad. You ever had that happen to you before? No? Yes? Right? So I remember I finally talked to our contact there. I said, listen, man, we got to get to some showers because these kids are running out of clothes. They change every day because they're putting stinky self into clothes and they're getting stinky by the end of the day. We need showers. He goes, oh, why didn't you say something? He said, what do you mean, why didn't I say something? He said, well, there's showers 2 blocks away. We just need to go get some coins. I said, are you kidding me? Information I could have used a week ago. So we grabbed a whole bunch of pesos, and I'll never forget that I got 2 rolls myself. And I just sat there, and I put coin after coin inside that slot and just let the water hit me. And I could feel the stench coming right off of me, right into the drain. It was the best shower. Do you know, since then, I thank God every time I get in the shower? That had such an impression on me, such an impact on me, that even a simple thing like running water, right? To be thankful for that, right? There's so much we can be thankful for. There's so much for us to have to live in gratitude. We have heat. We have a home, right? And the places that God sent me around the world, those become real things, right? Real things. Now, I don't own a home, but I have a home that I get to rent. Amen. It's a roof over my head, right? Over my family's head. So if you really think about it, there is so much to be thankful for. And I think for us to wake up and live in that thankfulness, even no matter what's going on around you, right? Because there's storms in life, right? There's things that are happening to us. You know, remember I talked about everything preaches and teaches Jesus because it's made by him, right? All of creation has his fingerprint on it. You know, the artist, by the way he paints, right? The artist is always revealed in his artwork. And God painted this earth. And it teaches something about him, right? That when you wake up in the morning and you see that sun come out, he made that sun to come out, but it's still held there by who? By him. I mean, it's so simple, I know, but aren't we grateful for that? Right? That he still holds the moon and the stars in his hand. I want to take a look at some scriptures here this morning. And I want to look at what does the Bible have to say about thanksgiving, about thankfulness, about gratitude. So we're gonna read a few here this morning. So let's, 1 Chronicles, let's look at chapter 16, verse 34. Let's see what it says here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. There is so many places in Scripture where it says give thanks to the Lord. I just picked out a few, but there is so many. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. It's all over in Scripture, for he is good. But if you don't believe he is good, you will not give thanks to the Lord. So that's rule number one. Do you believe he's good? Do you believe he's a good and righteous and a God of justice? Right, who brings justice. I remember when I was a very young pastor, I was in my early 20s, maybe 22. I remember it was a season of life. I was working down in Lower Mainland, British Columbia, at a church there, and there was so many people sick and dying. And I remember thinking, Lord, this just doesn't seem fair. Like, I remember this one man, it actually traumatized me. I remember him, he asked me to pray for him. He was very young. He had a young family. He just had a newborn baby and three kids who were all under the age of 5. And he got leukemia again. And he's holding my hand saying, please pray and ask God not to take me. I don't want to die. I just don't want to die. And he passed away. And I'll never forget this day of my life, and I was struggling to be thankful. I was struggling to be grateful to the Lord. I was feeling like life is really unfair. I really was. And I remember that day, because I remember when I came home, Tracy looked at me and she thought, whoa, what's wrong with you? Looks like your head's spinning, right? And my head was. In the morning, I went down to pray with a man who had terminal cancer at age 34. And I was praying for him, and the doctor said there's nothing they could do. I went back to my office to meet with two people who were struggling with life in between the beginning and the end, and they had some just humongous problems. And then I ended my day going to celebrate with a couple from the church who had been trying for years to have a kid, and they had their newborn. So my head was spinning. I was like, what a weird day. And I was really struggling with, well, Lord, are you good? Because I promise you, if you don't think he's good, you will not give thanks to the Lord. But the scriptures say, give thanks to him. And so me, in all of my wisdom and knowledge, went on the great search to find out, where is God in the midst of suffering? Is he just? Is he a God of justice? And that lasted for well over a year. I'm not going to lie. I thought the church might fire me. But they allowed me to go on this great search. Because I had, are you good, Lord? Like, I know you say, our ways are not your ways. And your thoughts are not like our thoughts. You're above. You see, God has the bird's eye view, doesn't he? on your life. He sees it all. He has a very different perspective from us. We're limited in our view, aren't we? Right? We can't see. That's why God doesn't worry, because he knows how it all fits together. Right? We worry because we don't trust, or we don't think he's good. Right? So I remember I came across in my quiet time as I'm going on this great search to discover if he's a good God. And it was a verse in Peter. It said, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's what Jesus did. He entrusted himself to the Father, who he believed was just, right? And I remember thinking, well, this verse would really help me if I believed he was. That's the search I'm on. And that's exactly what God said I had to answer. Now, I don't know how everything works together, but I know this, that he promises that he works everything for our good, for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? God doesn't cause all things, okay? But he will cause them for good in your life. Man causes a lot of pain, right? We blame God all the time, but God could have stopped it. But God gives choice, doesn't he? He has to, because it says God is love. Now, if I force my wife Tracy to love me, hello, sweetheart. You are so cute and distracting. She was just staring at me with these nice hello. Aw. Where was I? Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So if I force Tracy to love me, is that love? No. What makes it love? That she has the choice, right? And God is love. So he has to give man choice. He has to give the evil man the choice to do evil, and he has to give the righteous man the choice to do good. Right? But how does God work a way around it? I will work all things for your good, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Right? Remember the story of Joseph? Right? Remember everything that happened to him? It was a lot, right? And did not God take that all for good in Joseph's life? How big was Joseph's God before he went through all that to after he went through all that? Right? He saw God prove himself faithful again and again and again and again through everything he went through. And Joseph's God was probably about this big, but by the end of going through all that, his God was infinite. Right? He will work. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. There's that word because, right? He is good. His love endures forever. So if God is love, everything he does has to be done within an act of love, right? Because that's who he is. Right? Right? It's just like a cow. A cow can't wake up in the morning and decide, I think I'll be a horse today. Right? Because it's not a horse. It is a cow. That's what it was made to be. It has to do cow things. And God is love. That is who he is. He's tied himself to that. So everything he does has to be done within an act of love. Right? He is love. He will work everything for your good. Your life isn't over yet. The people you're praying for, their lives aren't over yet. I don't know how it all pieces together, but I know we learn in contrast. I need the bad to know what's good. I need the thin to know what's fat. I don't know hard without soft. I don't know light without darkness. Sometimes we need contrast, amen? The prodigal son, everyone knows that story? He had a lot of contrast, right? And at the end of his contrast, he decided, man, my father's hired servants get treated better than this. I'm going back. He had enough contrast, right? He's working everything in your life for your good. Do you believe it? That's the choice you have to make. For he is good. and his love endures. I believe it. But I had to go through my contrast. There was a season in life that I had a hard time believing it. So all the suffering and the pain that was around me, but God knew it, and he allowed that, didn't he? He allowed that in my life, and he allowed me the grace to work through it. Psalm 7:17. What does it say? There it is. I will give thanks to the Lord. There it is again. I will give thanks to the Lord because, there's that word because again, because of whose righteousness? His righteousness. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Do we have a righteousness outside of God? No. Can we make ourselves right? No. He is who makes us right. Amen? It's his blood that was pure, unblemished. Mine is blemished. Now, those of you who know me know long enough that Pastor Chad has many blemishes. He needs God's righteousness. And when you discover that it's him who's given you the right to be called children of God, we're a child. He's playing right now. We're made right because of him. And when you understand the depth of that statement, you will. The response is to give thanks. It is. It just comes naturally. You don't have to think about it. When you've done a stupid thing and then you recognize it, is it not gratefulness to the Lord that overflows? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you that you died for that. You know, my son and I were practicing driving yesterday. And this is a hilarious thing because before we went driving, he had already written in my birthday card that he had given to me, all the kids got me one. And I forget how he worded it, but I hope the driving with you, Dad, goes okay. And you don't get too mad. Well, I'm like, man, he must have known something was coming. Because dear old Pastor Chad lost his patience. And I remember saying after, I said, oh, buddy, am I ever sorry, man. Sorry I wasn't more, oh. I said, your dad is banking on the forgiveness and grace of God. I'm still a work in progress. I'm surprised he didn't want to kill himself after we were done. Just going to drive into that intersection, Dad, where the car is. Well, amen. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. Outside of him, I have no righteousness of my own. When you recognize that, the natural response is to give thanks, to give thanks. So I will sing the praises. How many of you sing here? Yes. How many of you sing in the shower? Yes. Sing praises to the Lord. Okay. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with and his courts with. Give to him and praise his name. I will enter his with thanksgiving in my heart. Everybody remember that old tune? I will enter his courts with praise. It's like a Western hoedown. Right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Why? Because you're entering his gates. Lord, thank you that you picked me. You chose me. Oh, I'm so grateful, Lord. Moths and rust will destroy things here, but the things I've learned from you will last forever. Your words and the revelations you taught me, that's all that you take with you here on planet Earth. Did you know that? The relationship you have with him and the revelations of his truth that he gave to you, that's all you take from here. We had to laugh because I said to Tracy back in Bible college when we were dating, we weren't even engaged yet, and I said to her, well, if you end up marrying me, I said this to her, I can even tell you where we were at the Bible college. I said, Donald, if you end up marrying me, I promise you this, you will not be rich on this earth. But I said, but you will be rich in Christ. And I didn't know the depth of that saying. I don't even know why I said that. But God somehow gave me a revelation way back then, and it's still true to this day. I don't have a lot, but I feel like I do. I remember when we were moving out of our place and moving into this big house, people like say, oh, you don't have a lot. How are you going to fill that house? But then we filled that house, and it was like, wow, we have a lot. I guess it's all relative, isn't it? Right? But the treasures that we have in Christ, right? You will enter his gates with thanksgiving. You will. Man, Lord, your truth has set me free. And truth isn't a series of theology teachings. Truth is a person. I am the way, the, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. It's a person. Truth is a person. It's a person to receive. And he'll bring revelation of all that you have in him. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving because of all that he's done. Right? Do you know all of my rewards in heaven? I said all my rewards. I don't know how many I'm going to have. But do you know my rewards in heaven are going to be all based upon what I never did, but what he did through me? Right? Absolutely. It's all what he does through me. So give thanks to him and praise his name. What have we been doing all morning? Praising his name. Because we're so thankful. Not just lip service, but from the heart, from the spirit that lives within us. Amen. Okay, this one's not in there. Who has their Bible? You have your, look at, I got to pick on you again. Carolee, right? Carolee. Do you guys know Carolee? She's a wonderful person. I really like her. Okay, not just because she reads for me with no problem. So can you look up Isaiah chapter 61? Oh, man, I'm going to have you read anyway, but I got to. Because the time is really going, so I'm going to see which verses I'll maybe shorten up a bit. Read for us from Isaiah chapter 61. Yeah, start at verse 1 and read through verse 3. Verses 1 to 3 of Isaiah 61. Stand, sister, and speak to us. Okay, do you hear that? A garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, right? When we're heavy, we're usually not thankful, right? When our hearts are heavy, we're usually not in that place of thankfulness. So the prophet says, I think it was Bill Gaither wrote, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Everybody remember that song? Okay, a few of us? Okay, I'm going to show my age now, right? But put on a garment of praise when you're heavy, right? You know what? There's something about it. Paul and Silas, they sang in the jail, right? And it shook. There's something about it, isn't there? Singing praises to the Lord, it somehow will cheer up your heart, right? I remember I was having a really heavy day, And maybe Aiden, when we practice, we should put on some worship music, hey? That would probably help us. I remember it was a tough day. And I remember the song, the Michael W. Smith song came on, it says, it may look like I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. So this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Right? And it just uplifted my heart. And I got caught up in it, so I start singing. And it was a really, I can't remember what it was, but it was bad, whatever I was going through. And I was so heavy. And as I started singing, and then I started just thanking God for a whole bunch of things. I even thanked him for the situation I was in. How does that happen? Put on the garment of praise, and I promise you thanksgiving will flow from your hearts. Oh, let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to that one. I'll read this one. Okay, listen, I'm going to stand and read. It is written, verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now there's a little secret in here, in this portion of scripture, right? So he's saying, so that the grace, all this is for your benefit, right? Jesus is raising us. He's going to bring us with him. We have this eternal life, right? We have it because of him and in him. And all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people, grace, not law, but grace is reaching more and more people. May it cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Amen? I'm thankful for the grace of God, aren't you? I couldn't measure up to his standard. And who is God's standard? Jesus. Anybody live like him here? No. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. And this is one of our greatest problems, because when problems come in our life, what do we focus on? What is seen, the problem, right? But he says, but fix your eyes on what is unseen, because that's eternal. Amen? So when you have problems, when life is heavy, where do you want to put your eyes? On the problem or on the solution? Yeah, and who is our solution? Jesus. And where does he live? Mi corazón. He lives in me. Fix your eyes here. I spent the first half of my Christianity looking for him without. I spent the last half of my Christianity looking for him with him where he actually lives. He's right here. Amen? He's right here. That has ministered to me as I've traveled around the world without my family, missing my wife, missing my kids. And the Lord reminded me, I'm right here. Right? Fix your eyes on what is unseen. You have Christ on one hand and your problems on the other. And if your problems become your focus, you're overwhelmed, you're undone, you're worried, you're anxious, you're depressed, you burn up, you burn out, and you go sideways, right? But if Christ is your focus, do your problems go away? No. When I was in South America, They said, see, yes. I'm like, what? I said, really, what are you South American Christians doing that this North American Christian isn't doing? And my interpreter did a great job, thank God. And I said, how many of you came here with problems? I was in a very poverty-stricken area. And it was a large building I was in. And it was like I got them to do the wave without getting them to do the wave. And everybody's hand go up. I said, how many of you came here with problems? I said, well, I've learned something about South American Christians. You all just lied to me. You all came here with problems. But you said they go away. I said, but you've all proven my point. And you're even laughing, I said, because they were laughing. I said, how can you be laughing right now? You have big problems in your life. I know this area. I've even talked to many of you. How can you be laughing? I said, you've all proven my point. You fixed your eyes on what is unseen instead of what is seen. Amen? That is the goal. I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind stays on me, not the problem, right? You see him, I promise you, thanksgiving will overflow out of you. I promise. It's a natural response. That's why he says, fix your eyes on your problems, the author and perfecter of your faith. No. Fix your eyes on me. Who has turkey in the oven? There's never enough time. Do you guys find that, or is it just me? Or are you like, wow, he's a long-winded pastor. When will he just shut up? I'm hungry. Okay. Let me wrap this up because I guess I should. Does anybody have turkey in the oven? Oh, okay. Thank you, sister. I will wrap up. I was thinking of a story. God had been speaking to me. I've been chewing on this. My title of my message today was Attitude of Gratitude. Having an attitude of gratitude. And God had spoken to me on this a number of years ago, and I'm still chewing on it. And I think the way to live life is to live in gratitude with the absence of complaint. Because if complaint is there, is gratitude there? No. If you have complaint in your heart, gratitude will not be there. And if you're going to complain, you're actually complaining against the Lord. Right? Because he sits on the throne. I made a decision years ago in my life that I decided this, that whatever comes my way in my life had to go through God's hands first before it ever got to me. Because he could permit what he could prevent, right? God permits what he could prevent. And so if he never prevented, he allowed it. Whether it was man's imposing on me or God's, doesn't matter. He allowed it. Amen? And I made that decision a year ago. And the follow, as I've been chewing on this over the years, the follow-up to that, well, I guess if I complain, I'm really complaining against the Lord. Because he allowed it. Amen? So I want to live in gratitude with the absence of complaint. And what's helped me in that is looking at what is unseen, not what is seen. Do you know what the center of a tornado? Remember I was talking about the artist revealed in his artwork? And I kind of tricked you because I lost my train of thought, so I went somewhere else. But where I actually wanted to go was a tornado, right? And in a tornado, there's lots going on, right, on the outside, what is seen. But do you know what's happening at the center of the tornado since scientists have been able to discover this and research this? It's calm. It's very calm and perfectly at the center of that tornado. Right? Everything preaches and teaches something about him, doesn't it? He made that, right? He designed it to be that way. And if you stay at your center, you will live in gratitude. You move outside of that, you're going to get whipped around. And complaint will be right there. We want to live in the place of gratitude with the absence of complaint. So let me end with this story so we can have turkey, okay? I don't need any turkey. Would you like my new sweater? My daughter got this for my birthday. Yeah, it feels really nice, actually. My daughter figured, Dad, you got to dress a little better. So I'm grateful for her. So one of my mentors, his name's Alex, and Alex is, he's in his 90s now. He lives in Cochin in southeastern India. And he's a wonderful man. And I can't say his Indian name, so he gave himself an English name that we can pronounce. And his name's Alex Matthew. And Alex was telling me when he was a young man at 18, they have to serve a certain amount of terms in the army. Right? In some countries, you have to do that. He had to serve in the army. And Alex is like a twig. Right? I look at him, and I feel like I could floss my teeth with him. He's so thin. And there's not much to him. I've always worried if a great big wind came that he would blow away in it. He just was no weight. There was nothing to him. And so he told me when he first entered the army, how it worked is in training, there was a point system. And depending how you came, first, second, third, all that kind of stuff, you got points. And then depending on how many points you got, you graduated. Right? So Alex was not physical. He wasn't athletic. He was a very kind man. I remember we went for a walk around the sea. The Indian Ocean or whatever it was, and it was very uncomfortable for this Caucasian Canadian. He grabs my hand and walks with me along the seawall. But not just holding my hands, he interlocked his fingers with me. And I'm sure Alex could feel me go as stiff as a board. Awkward, this is awkward, right? But I called him love on legs. If there was a human picture that I've ever had in my life of Jesus, it was him. He had just journeyed with Jesus so many years, worked with the poor and the poverty and the broken his whole life. And Alex, you're love on legs. And Alex was telling me about this army story, about him being in the army. And he just wasn't athletic. You know, they did the rope climb, he was last. You know, they jumped through the tires, he was last. They had to run. Oh, he said, I wasn't quite last in running. That I could actually do. And by the end of his term, it came up and it was graduation. And they handed out the list. And Alex came second. And he was absolutely, he says, well, somebody made a mistake. Because there's no way I ended up second. Right? And everybody's looking and they're looking at Alex's name and they're like, why did I come second? How on earth, over these months of training, did I end up second place? And so he came over to the general. And he asked him, he said, hey, listen, I'm just wondering. And the general looks at him, he says, Alex, I already know what you're thinking. You're probably wondering how you ended up in second place. And Alex said, yes. He said, how on earth did I end up second? I mean, there is way more athletic people than me. He said, well, there is also points based upon other things that you didn't know about. He said, you came second because not once did I hear you complain about all of the things you had to do during training. Heard it from everybody else, but I never heard it from you. That's why you came second. You want to be around a person like that. Well, amen. And Alex said to me, he said, it wasn't that I didn't have complaints, but I just didn't see the need to share them. What good is it going to do me or anybody? Right? So you give the complaints to the Lord as the Israelites did. And you learn to say thank you. Because there's much to be thankful for. Amen? Let's be a church that has an attitude of gratitude. That let's not focus on what's going on in my life. Let's put our focus back to Him who lives within. Amen? And then let's let thankfulness overflow out of our hearts and our souls. Out of our spirits, because there's much to be thankful for. And we need to remind each other, don't we? I hope you do with me. I need those reminders, right? If I'm complaining, somebody please be gentle with me, though. I got feelings. All right? Amen. Amen. All right? Capiche? Amen? Attitude of? Okay, let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much, God, for everything that you've done. I know we say that all the time, Lord, but because there's so much. There is too much. We could be here for hours listing all that you have done. So we sum it up in one word and we say everything. And God, we mean it. There's even things that you've done that we don't even recognize. And so, Lord, we're so grateful to you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you that we can live in freedom right here today. Thank you that I can stand here and share with my brothers and sisters in freedom. Thank you that we have air to breathe. Thank you for the life that you've given us. And thank you for the freedom that we have because of you. Thank you for the peace and the joy and the gratitude we can live in because of you. We are grateful, Lord. Help us as a church. Help us as the children of God here in this building. Help us to be a church that are known for having an attitude of gratitude, because they look to what is unseen, not what is seen. They know they have a God that's bigger than anything in their life. Anything. And he will always come to comfort and to heal and to give life and joy where there's sadness and sorrow. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray this in his great, his holy, his awesome, his perfect name and person. In that name, God, man, we pray. And God's children said, amen. Amen. All right, go fill your bellies with turkey. I plan on it. And we'll see you guys next Sunday.